Tonight. So maybe you got no question, I will make use of the time to brief them so that they can benefit. They are new to meditation, except our sister, I think she is from, according to Mi Feng, she is from this Far Kusan. Dhammadrum, yes. Sadhu. You are a Malaysian, yes. You are not a Taiwanese, Sadhu. So anyway, we welcome Sister what? Vivian, Oh, very easy to remember, Sister Vivian, So you're most welcome to join us, Sister Vivian. Then we had here Brother Hung, my long-time friend since the early days. Then the wife, Ellie. Easy to remember, Ellie. So we together welcome them. So we are a big family of Dhamma friends. Friends who walk the path of Dhamma. Friends who really has the, what they call, very sincere intention to develop this understanding of the Buddha's teaching. That's why the Dhamma that the Buddha teaches is very important. It can bring forth enlightenment, then it can free your mind, can liberate your mind from all suffering, so that you will really understand life beautifully. Then you will know how to live. You can live a life of what they call true peace, true happiness, true joy, free of all. The word is all suffering and misery. So you will not have any more fear, any more worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, no matter what happened to the world, no matter what happened to your loved one, and no matter what happened to yourself. You are always at peace. Your mind is always free, beautiful. You are always at ease. The mind, the true mind, understand everything. Then the conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind, the karmically conditioned consciousness, that one you use to live. That one is not you. So this teaching is very unique. It's not only capable of bringing about a lot of goodness, wholesomeness, but it can bring forth the understanding to liberate your mind, to make you enlightened. And from there onward, you will be totally transformed as a living being. Character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, you become a real noble one, beautiful being. Such a being will be very different from the normal, heedless living being who tend to have a lot of delusion, a lot of ignorance. Ignorant in the sense that they don't understand the nature's law that governs their life and their existence. They fail to develop the understanding of it. That's why they don't know how to live life. And because of that, they encounter many problems in life. They get themselves entangled with life. So the purpose of our class here, meditation on Thursday class, is to develop a type of meditation as taught by the Buddha that will lead to this understanding of his essential teaching. We call it the Four Noble Truths, which is the Dhamma that the Buddha taught. This Dhamma that the Buddha taught are truth. That's why his essence within the teaching, he called it the Four Noble Truths. They are not ordinary truths. They are noble truth. The moment you understand them, you can become noble ones. Noble ones in the time of the Buddha are called enlightened ones, because the enlightened being, they are very noble in their understanding of life. They are very noble in the way they arise their action, speech and thought process, in the way they interact with the world, with living beings, in the way they live their life. They are very noble in all aspects. That's why they have right thought, right view, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then this teaching can also bring forth a lot of what they call harmony, love, compassion, understanding. Then it can bring forth great relationship. And it can transform your family into a very beautiful family unit too. Then the way you develop your life, you become a blessing to all of humanity, all of what they call society. This one is a bit distortion. So, in order to develop this understanding, we need to understand certain essential teachings that the Buddha teach. So you look at the whiteboard for the benefits of those who are new. Oh, 8:30 already. Okay, what we do is, what we do is, we will start the puja first, okay? So for those who are new, you are not familiar, you just silence your mind and listen, then you rejoice. For those who are familiar with the Buddhist tradition or practice, we will do our usual homage to the Buddha. Those in front can pay respect to the image there. Those at the back, you have a what they call image up there on the wall. So what we need to do is to develop this spiritual faculty, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through understanding who the Buddha is, how wise and how virtuous the Buddha is, and how special he is, then how wonderful his teaching is. So that faith will bring forth the spiritual faculty of Sadha. Then you determine, to actually understand his teaching. And that determination is a type of spiritual energy or zeal they call virya, which is the second spiritual faculty. Then when you pay respect mindfully, means body and mind as one without thought. When you have faith, your mind is very calm, very composed. Then with the faith, you pay respect to Lord Buddha. And you will develop the spiritual faculty of sati. Then after that, we will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Means the Pali version, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa, 3 times. The meaning is we pay homage to the Buddha, we reverential salutation, we salute the Buddha, and we chant homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Then after that, followed by the refuge. The 3 refuges is to take refuge in the Triple Gem, the Buddha Dharma, and the Sangha. For those who are new, you may have to read up a bit. And in between, if I got the condition, I will translate and explain. The Buddha Dharma and the Sangha are the most important gem. They are called the gemstone, the most precious of all the precious stones. That's why they are the gem. And within this Triple Gem, the teaching are there. So after we take refuge, we renew our precepts, because these are very important for us to understand life. Without keeping the precept, you can become heedless and you can create a lot of negativity through action, speech and thought that will result in negative karma. And the nature's law, which is the law of karma, when it takes effect, those who don't keep precept, they will become afflicted. They will reap the fruit of negativity that they commit. Just like what the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the seed of evil. Then after that, we rejoice. We say, sadhu, 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 3 times. We rejoice with all this wholesomeness and goodness. Okay, now compose your mind. We pay respect. Then we will start our puja. Okay, we will start the puja now. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Sura miraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight, there are three new people, so I need to spend some time maybe explaining how to develop the meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. We will off the light. But before that, I would like to remind all of you, there is a transcript notes for you to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha based on a talk that I gave last year, 12 September 2013. I have already told you many times, this book is very comprehensive. If you want to understand, you go and read this one. Then you can meditate. The purpose is to save us time so that when we start, we can straight away go into the meditation. This is an A4 size. There is another one, blue copy, A5 size, folded. It's the same book. So go back, read it up. Then my instruction here, I will give you a summarized version, but you will understand when you read up that book. Okay. Now I will off the light, then after that, we will start the meditation class. Okay, so you got half an hour to develop the meditation. So for those who can already meditate, you please go ahead. For those who still need to train their mind, you continue to train your mind. Then after that, stabilize the mindfulness that you have developed, then use it to develop wisdom or meditate on the sixth sense basis. or five aggregate of form and mind, whichever that is more suitable to you. Then for those who are new or who need instruction, you listen carefully. Just relax body and mind. Meditation is about understanding how to relax body and mind, because to develop this meditation, the body and the mind must harmonize. For it to harmonize, it must be free of all stress and tension. So you are here to relax your body and mind, to seek peace, to be at peace. So the best way is to forget about everything that you have been holding on to, or any of your life problem or situation that has disturbed you and bothered you. They will keep on coming to haunt you through your thought, but you tell yourself, now this 2 hours of meditation training, I am going to let go of everything. Means, I just want to be at peace. Whatever that the thought want me to think or deal with, please, later, after the meditation is over, I will attend to it. That will allow you the space to be at peace with yourself. So that whatever thought come, you tell the thought, please, not now. Yeah, then it will go away. Yeah. Then after a while, it come again, you say, please, not now. Then your focus should be just relax body and mind. Yeah? Just like when you are very peaceful, you are very relaxed, then you just silent your mind. No need to think. Just allow things be. Sometimes the thought keep on arising, but you just allow it. Don't fight it, don't suppress it, don't control it. Just feel the peace, because here the energy is very good. You can enter stillness or the state of meditative peace and inner awareness very easily. So you just relax body and mind, completely relax and silence your mind. Then make sure you have a stable posture. You have a straight backbone. Try to be as straight as you can. Then after that, you close your eye. Then you maintain attention or mindfulness on your forehead. You just feel, don't focus, just feel. Just feel your forehead. If there is any tension, any tightness, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Every muscle, every strand of it in the forehead, feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Again, you feel, don't think, just feel. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just relax them. Feel the eye muscles soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle. Feel every strand of it. Feel it soothingly, relax. Whatever tension, whatever tightness, relax it. Then in order to help you, you can use a skillful means. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. You smile. That radiant smile will help you to relax. We are a person who can radiate that radiant smile is very happy. There is joy. When there is joy, you are without stress. Your body, your facial muscle naturally relax because of that joy. Then you can use loving kindness or metta to develop inner well-being. From inner peace, you will develop inner well-being. You can recite following what I recite. A type of loving kindness meditation or metta that the Buddha taught. The Buddha said, you just feel and recite mentally, silently inside. May I, this body and mind of mine, you feel your body and mind. Be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. Feel it, really feel it. Learn to love yourself. have love and be loved. Mm. Then you repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will, and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my heart. Then you can continue to radiate this metta to all your loved ones. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your heart and radiate to them. You can visualize them, your loved one. Can be your wife, your spouse, your children, your parents, or your close friend, or your brothers or sisters, or somebody close to you, where you have a lot of respect, gratitude, and affection for. Then you can read it the same metta to them. May my loved ones too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they too be free from all harms and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will, and untroubled. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can read it to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Brother Sui An and Mi Feng's house, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all of us, Dharma friends, may we all to be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within our hearts and radiate to them all. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can read this same metta to all beings within the entire Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our planet, Mother Earth. Then our solar system, our galaxy, and our whole universe. May all beings within the entire existence, the whole of this universe, be well and happy, well and happy. May they too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can continue to radiate this love and metta to all beings throughout the entire existence like before. If you want to repeat it one more time, you can go ahead. Otherwise, by now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. So our focus here is to train this mind so that it has this inner peace leading to inner well-being. The inner peace and inner well-being will make you very calm, very peaceful. Your mind will become very composed. Then there is more and more of this silence and stillness within. Then you will experience a type of joy within. Yeah. They call it piti. Then you can stabilize this peace or this calmness and inner awareness by developing anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. This is a Pali word. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So when you can train your mind to develop mindfulness on your in and out breath, you are doing anapanasati training. Anapanasati is a very useful technique or meditation object to anchor the mind, so that it does not wander off and become heedless, so that it is not lost in thought, so that this mind is always mindful of the breathing, which is always within the moment. And when it is without thought, it is very calm and very peaceful. Anapanasati is not easy for those who have not done before. So what you should do is you should train. When you silence your mind, you just maintain attention at your forehead. Just like how you maintain attention at your forehead to do the mind sweeping method, now you maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then you allow the breathing to go on naturally, breathing in, breathing out naturally. Then because you have attention at the nostril, you will come to be aware of the in and out breath. Then like the Buddha said, the moment your awareness can detect the breathing, breathing in, the mind is aware, breathing out, the mind is aware, you can maintain attention, then you will develop anapanasati and your mind will become very calm and very peaceful very fast. For those who are new, you find it difficult, it's okay. Because this mind that is not trained tends to think a lot, wanders off very fast, lost in thought, become heedless. So every time this thought wanders off, become heedless, you mindfully, with patience, bring it back to be aware of the breathing. Every time you wander off, you bring it back. Every time you wander off, you bring it back. After a while, this mind will listen to you. You will not run. Then you just relax everything and silence. Allow this breathing to go on its own. The mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati. After a while, piti will arise. Piti is a spiritual calm, spiritual, what they call rapture, that arises due to your mind that has developed sati or mindfulness. Sati is the silent mind, a natural state of awareness within without thought. So you can be aware of anything within your physical and mental flow without thought. That is sati. So as you train yourself in anapanasati, piti will become more and more strong. Spiritual calmness, spiritual joy will develop until it becomes very stable. Then as you continue to relax, this piti, which is a type of spiritual joy that you experience while they arise, will transform into a more subtle mind state which they call sukha. Sukha is bliss, spiritual bliss. You will feel the blissfulness within that piti that has become sukha. So when sukha arises, you will like to meditate because the feeling is so pleasant, so blissful. And most cultivators, if they are not careful, they tend to get themselves entangled because this state of piti and sukha, many people get attached to it after they develop it, especially those who are able to do it for the first few times. Always remember, whatever that arises, they are all conditioned state. They come and they go. So piti also come and go, sukha also come and go. Then you continue to meditate and become more and more calm, more and more relaxed, and more peaceful. Sukha will transform further into pasati, or what they call the silent mind. The silent mind is the meditative mind. So when you have sukha leading to pasati, you just silent everything, don't do anything. Then this, what they call pasati, which is the silent mind, the tranquil, still mind, That is the meditative state. That is the mind that can meditate. So our purpose of this formal sitting is to train the mind until it's like that. And just now, the mind sweeping method, I only teach you up to the facial muscle. You can actually, after that, continue. After the metta, you can come back to your facial muscle, then you just feel, silence your mind and feel. Make sure all the eye muscle, the facial muscle, they are all relaxed, relaxed and relaxed. Feel it soothingly relaxed. Then you continue to sweep it down to your neck. Feel, don't think. Shoulder, feel, don't think, relax. The moment you feel, you just relax. You move on to your hand, feel, relax, come back to shoulder. Then after that, you go to your heart area, chest area. This is where the life force arises and passes away. This is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the seat of consciousness is. So you just silence your mind and feel. If you have the refinement of mindfulness, you will be able to detect your own heartbeat without a stethoscope, just through your mindfulness. Or you can also detect any vibration within your heart area. So when you already stabilize your mindfulness, you can actually silence your mind and feel, just feel any vibration or any heartbeat. The moment you silence and feel, you will become magnified, very clear. Then you can slowly, slowly continue to relax and allow it to be. Then you will understand a lot of things. But for those who are new, you just feel, relax. Then you move on to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, do the same, feel, relax. Buttock, leg, do the same. Then after that, you can reverse the whole thing. From the leg, you feel, then you relax. Buttock, do the same, feel, relax. Then you move on to your abdomen, stomach, heart, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, eye muscle. Then your forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you train yourself further by developing mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati. Or you can use any other object of meditation that you are familiar with. The skillful means to train your mind to develop this inner peace, inner well-being, and inner awareness called sati. Okay, with this I will let you all meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. The mind that is trained is very different. It listens to you. It will serve you well. It is very heedful. The mind that is trained is very peaceful, very calm, and is silent within. Most of the time away. And such a mind is useful. Such a mind is heedful because there is clarity. It's not lost in thought. It does not simply arise thought. Without thought, you are very peaceful, you are very calm. The problem with living being is you think a lot because of your habitual tendency, your heedlessness. You have not developed your spiritual faculty. That's why you are not peaceful. So coming back to a little bit of theory here. The essence of the Buddha's teaching. Just now before we start, I was trying to explain these two categories of Dhamma. So you look at the whiteboard. On the top here, we call this the five spiritual faculties. In Pali, it's called Pancha Indriyas. The Pali word is, the first spiritual faculty is Saddha. The English translation is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. These spiritual faculty are actually something that the Buddha actually realized through his meditation and mental training. He said, for you to understand the spiritual teaching, to develop the spiritual understanding of the Dhamma that he has taught, you need this spiritual spiritual faculties. Without them, you can't. And when you lack them, you become heedless. The Buddha said, the opposite five mental hindrances will arise. And when they arise, like the word hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Means from becoming the meditative mind. That's why you have no peace. You lack inner peace. You don't know how to silence your mind. You think a lot. It's because the hindrances are so powerful. And actually, these are, in a way, common sense. You apply it to your daily life. You will come to realize what the Buddha listed here, they make a lot of sense. The first one is Saddha, faith or confidence. In the spiritual sense, is the faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, because the Buddha is very unique. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. He is teacher of man and God. He can teach all beings, even God, all living beings. And he is the trainer uncompared. Means nobody can be wiser than him as far as spiritual training of mind to become enlightened is concerned. So if you are not talking about spiritual sense, then we are talking about confidence in another sense. Means what? In your normal daily life, you need to have confidence in your in yourself, isn't it? When you have self-confidence, you become motivated, correct or not? Then when you have confidence, you can act properly, understand? Even exam same. When you got no confidence, you got exam fear, you sure fail or you won't do well, understand? But you, when you have prepared yourself and you are very confident that you will do well, you tend to do well, understand? So self-confidence is very important. Like when you go for a job interview, when you go for whatever meeting, whether it is within the career field or any activity like AGM or whatever. And nowadays we not only have company AGM, we have societies in AGM too, like your Buddhist society or this thing. Then you tend to have meeting quite often, especially if you are in the working career, you are in the management position. If you lack self-confidence, you cannot excel in life and you cannot excel in your career. You tend to have a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. You lack confidence. So spiritual faculty is opposite of hindrance. Hindrance is when you are not confident, you have a lot of doubt. Okay? Then similarly, the Buddha said, after you know who he is and how wonderful his teaching is, you become very determined to learn this teaching. So there is an energy that will arise, that will drive you to cultivate. He called this energy virya, or spiritual zeal. The spiritual tenacity to determine strongly to walk this way, to learn this teaching. In our mundane sense, this is what you call passion, interest. Understand? When you have certain love or passion for certain thing, you will do very well. You know why? Because you will spend a lot of time doing it. Where you like it, understand? It's your passion. It's something you look forward to develop. So your mind state can be built on sadha and virya, just like in your normal day-to-day affair. But in the spiritual sense, it's more focused, understand? It's geared towards spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom. That sati is a very unique word. This one, normal people don't understand. Normal people, they use the opposite of sati. They use will. You know this word, huh? They use the word willpower. Understand? Understand? You know why they use this? Because within the field of thought, this is the most powerful. This mental state. You heard of this sentence, that if there is a will, there is a way. See how powerful. If there is a will, if you will it, it will come. Understand? Because mind is like that. Thought is like that. You have to use the power of will. You must will it. You must determine to allow it to happen or to make it happen. So willpower is for these people who use thought, understand? Whereas for the Buddha who has developed the wisdom and the enlightenment, who has transcended thought, who has gone beyond the field of thought, this one is still mundane. The field of thought is still mundane. You know what is mundane, huh? The other way, supramundane. Mundane is regarding our world, understand? Supramundane is you don't use thought, you use sati. You use your true mind, your inner nature. And this one is beyond thought, beyond mind. Field of thought is very mundane. But those who know how to use the will and have confidence in themselves and very determined, they will also excel within the field of thought. And the most powerful people are, they have not only very strong will, they can concentrate their mind. That's why they can develop psychic ability. They can like have magic. So this one is all within the field of thought. We talk about samatha. Samatha or concentration and absorption meditation, bhavana. At the Klang Talk, the pink book that I give you, you will have this. Whereas the supramundane, they talk about vipassana. Vipassana, bhavana. Or bhavana is a Pali word that means meditation. So vipassana meditation or vipassana bhavana is a type of meditation that uses sati, awareness, the silent mind, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the characteristics of nature. Vipassana got two words, vi and passana. Vi here means the three characteristics of nature. The three characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into. So whatever meditation that can allow you to insight into the three characteristics of nature is called vipassana. This is to develop wisdom. Wisdom. Insight or wisdom. Here the spelling is INSIGHT, not INSIDE. To insight into something. So spiritual faculty has this unique component of sati, or English word they translate as mindfulness. Mind in fullness without thought, anasana, full of awareness, sati. So when you have sati, the Buddha said, you have clarity of mind. You are not heedless. You are not lost in thought, because this is a very unique quality of mind. That's why to meditate, you must train your mind to have this quality of sati. And all of our formal meditation, you start with training your mind to have this quality, sati. And the Buddha teach you to use the puja, your devotional practice. When you have a lot of devotion, you develop faith, you develop virya, spiritual zeal. Then you bow, you pay respect, you develop sati. Then after that, you determine to meditate. That's how you train your mind, using anapanasati or any other method technique that can allow you to train the mind, like what I taught you, mind sweeping method and all those things, combined with metta. You go and read up the 12 September 2013 transcript, it's all described there. Both these five spiritual faculty and hindrance are described there. So you must understand, why are you not peaceful? Why are you not happy? Because these hindrances are there, that's why you're not peaceful. And this hindrance, for those who are new, I will have to explain a bit. We spend a bit of time on this. You see, I finish on the spiritual faculty first. The Buddha said, the moment you have sati, means you are silent, without thought, and peaceful. Because sati is aware. Awareness before the knowing, before the thought come out, before the aggregate of mind, before you perceive, before you know anything. It's just a pure awareness. So that quality is when you bow to the Buddha, when your body and mind is one, you have sati. That's why Fakusan, when we were in Thailand, in Taiwan, it was very good. One of the Sijie told us, because one of our Dhamma friends asked, what is meditation according to your sect, means their tradition. And the sister, very good, she answered in Mandarin, 16 words. Yeah. To them, meditation is chan, chan, zazen, or zen. So what is meditation? So the teacher explained to them, he said, sen zai na li, xin jiu zai na li. That is a very powerful explanation. Wherever your body is, your mind follow. That is sati, that is zen. With no thought, body and mind as one. And so when you pay respect, bow, body and mind as one. When you walk, body and mind as one. When your mind is inside your kaya, it's always in the moment without thought. Understand? That is sati, that is mindfulness. Yeah. Then the second key thing to meditation is relax. Fang song, chuan ti fang song, na jiu shi chan. That's why it's very beautifully described. And that is real Zen meditation. The first foundation of mindfulness. Four foundation, you have the first foundation, kaya nupassana. So when you develop sati, you must anchor it to your kaya, your physical body. That's why if you don't do that, what happened to you? Your mind will be heedlessly lost in thought. It will run out. Understand? If your mind is not with your body, where is your mind? Lost in thought. Understand? You can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware and silent within, or you are out and lost in thought. The moment you are lost in thought, you are heedless. And it's so easy to get lost in thought. Every time you see something, or hear something, or smell something, or taste something, or tactile feel and think something, what happened to you? Yeah? You get lost in that sense experience, correct or not? You get lost in what you see. Then, you start to get yourself entangled and involved with the consciousness that you see. Understand? You start to comment, react, and recall. Then sometimes, judge. So what are you doing at that moment? Your mind is lost in that thought process, preoccupied with that thinking, that emotion, that sense experience. So when you do that, you are no longer aware. True or not? When you are preoccupied with your thinking, you are lost in thought, how can you be aware? You can either be aware or lost in thought. The mind can only do one thing at a time. Although you can multitask. But frequently, during your waking moment, your sense experience, they arise and pass away so fast. Understand? They say, like speed of lightning, so fast. And split second, you see, you think, smell, think, move also think, hear also think. Everything you do, you think. Hardly any moment of silence. That's why you hardly have any space between thought. You know what is space between thought? Huh? This one, let's say, one thought. Then, you create another thought. Let's say this is the first thought. Then this is the second thought. Huh? This is a space. Correct, right? Yeah? Can you experience this space? Huh? Can you experience this space? Unless you have trained your mind, you have sati. And this space can be quite long. Yeah. And throughout the day, you can have this space. When you are heedful or mindful, the space between two thoughts is beautiful. Because the space is without thought, correct not? Correct not? Huh? Without thought. When you are without thought, how are you? You got no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Nothing can disturb you. Without thought, you are very peaceful. So that's why the space between thought is peace. Answer. Peace. Silent. Silent is C-E or C-E. Huh? Silence. Ah, correct. T, correct. My English very lousy. You must correct me. Huh? Then what? Huh? Give you a hint. Ah, very good. So peace, silence, and tranquility. When you can realize this state of inner peace, leading to inner tranquility and stillness. The last one is stillness. Your mind is very beautiful. When there is stillness, it is so silent, so still, so peaceful, so blissful. That's why the spiritual faculties leads to the jhanic factor of piti, sukha, pasati. Then, ekagata, one-pointedness. Yeah. So all these are possible. That's why your mind enter samadhi. This is the fourth spiritual faculty. And this samadhi is collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. So when your mind has more and more space between thought, when your sati is more and more stable, this phenomena will arise more and more, more and more, until there is hardly thought, there is only space. Then when there is only space, you are most of the time aware. You can perceive, but you don't think. It's the pure awareness. You can cognize. The pure perception can come out, cognize, but it does not stir thinking. It does not condition you into heedlessness, negativity, evil. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. You are always peaceful, calm, You are able to do that because there is wisdom behind, there is understanding behind. Initially, you need continuity to develop samadhi. Samadhi, before the wisdom arises, is very useful. So that when you meditate, especially in the retreat, or you can do it until your daily life is so stable, your sati, then you develop samadhi. Then you know what happened to you or not. Every moment of sense experience, because of your spiritual faculty, you have sada, virya, sati, and samadhi, especially sati and samadhi. When you are always aware and with the samadhi, means every moment of seeing, hearing, the mind doesn't waver, understand? Collected. That's why it can see things as they are, understand? Where the mind is not disturbed, it does not stir, it does not react. Means you see with the direct seeing, then you understand directly. They call it direct knowledge and vision of the reality, jnana dasana. That's why you insight into phenomena, no dogma. That's why wisdom keep on arising, the fifth spiritual faculty. But without sati and samadhi, panya cannot arise. Without sati and samadhi, you know what arises or not? Knowledge. Knowledge is born of the intellect, memory. You have a lot of knowledge, you memorize them. Then you can rattle them out. So memory is thought-based. That's why memory power, will power, they are all thought-based. Whereas awareness is without thought. They don't need memory. They are just silent and they see things as they are and they will awaken to all phenomena. This is the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching. You look at all the religion, they have most of the thing that all religion teach, avoid all evil, do good. Then they got meditation. But all meditation, most of it, before the Buddha's time, they went into concentration, psychic field, energy field. Whereas the Buddha is the only one that teach that time, sati. Nowadays, more. Nowadays, you got Krishnamurti, who teach awareness, Eckhart, power of now, present moment awareness. That's why nowadays, the teaching seems to turn towards present moment awareness, sati. Actually, the Buddha discovered it 2,600 years ago. And this sati is a very, very powerful, what they call, it's not really a mind state. Sati is a spiritual faculty. Understand? It's not a mundane mind. It's the true mind. But they are so near. That's why the aggregate come out very fast. The moment you aware, without the real sati, you hardly aware. You straight away think. Through memory, you respond. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Your true memory, you respond. Thought is respond to memory. And you act with your memory, your conditioning, your views and your opinion, your tradition, your belief system. You use memory and you act from there. That's why you have emotion, mood, fear. That's why all your rites and ritual, belief system, will cause you to react as well. You act according to this memory, to this what they call bundle of memory, which is what you are composed of. Understand that? This memory, which is your conditioning, if you are Buddhist, means a lot of Buddhist conditioning. You are Christian, a lot of Christian conditioning. You are Chinese, you have a lot of Chinese traditional belief that condition your mind state. That's why you have a lot of pantang, all those things, especially Penang people. Then you say, this one cannot do, my mother say one, my forefather say one, die already, must have funeral, machan, how many days you must do all this, first 7 seconds, until the 7 times 7, 49 days, or you don't do, they come and haunt you, you cannot sleep. So all these are right and ritual because you are so conditioned. Then what happened? When your parent passed away, if you don't do, you got fear. You do, you also got fear. Don't know do correct or not. Then people got chance to make your money. Or you want how much package? 25,000 like that, 50,000 like that, 100,000 are better. Oh, you sure, your father sure, very good condition. Oh, if money can buy heaven, then no need to live a good life. Understand? So, a lot of things we do, we check back as Chinese custom and tradition. Even my daughter used to tell my her grandmother, my mother, well, my father passed away first. I think about how long ago? I think easily 9 or 10 years ago. I think if I'm not wrong, 10 years ago, 2 or 4. So first time I brought my children back for the funeral, my son, my daughter, they were there. Then my mother insists, because as a traditional Chinese from China, when I tell her, I say, you are the mother, we respect you, you tell us what you want, yeah, then we will follow, we will do. Then you know what she said, she know I don't recommend all this. He said, in Hakka, itoi itoi jiak xia lai, means one generation after another generation, after another generation, all continue like that, no, they do like that, no, we better follow, otherwise we don't know what will happen. No. I say, what you want to follow? He said, buy the paper house, burn. He said, I must buy like that, like that, like that. I say, okay, you want, we buy. Then they deliver, no. Then my daughter saw, no, wow, got handphone, no, no. Got the car with a sing, bungalow sing. They always the jaga ruma on the big house. Then the driver is always like a song kok one. Then my daughter is it down there got SIM card or not? Where she worked for Maxis, so no SIM card how? He said, that handphone cannot use one. Down there got data. And we were so gullible. No? And that paper house is not cheap. No? Almost. Depending on the size. And what you want to put there, is it? Oh, you want one Mercedes Benz or two Mercedes Benz? You want how many room one? All got price one. Got kachin one. So, if you have this conditioning, out of fear you do, understand? You say, to be safe. Understand? Kiasi. Singaporean called kiasu. Better do everything. Then sound like you best. Last minute, buy insurance, baptize, become Christian. Sure, kingdom of God. So a lot of people, they got this conditioning. So without mindfulness, without this spiritual faculty, you got no clarity, and you don't understand what thought is, what memory is. That's why the Buddha's teaching, they teach everything, the 5 aggregate of form and mind. Who are you, what is this aggregate of form and mind, the mental aggregate, what are thought, and the characteristics of thought. That's why with that complete understanding, that wisdom is so different, it's not a belief, it's not a tradition, it's not a rite and ritual. It's not a conditioning that people impose upon you. It's a wisdom and understanding that you see directly through your meditation. And you understand clearly who you are, what you are, and you can detect that nature. And you can cease insight. And you can realize everything that this nature is capable of understanding. That's why you have such a thing as direct knowledge and vision of the reality. You see things as they are and awaken, and you can become enlightened. So spiritual faculty are very unique. When you have this five cease to be. Now I come to this. Your 5 hindrances. First one is sensual desire. Second one is ill will. These two is very near to your evil roots. Understand not? Your 3 evil roots. What are the first two? Greed and hatred. So sensual desire is a lot to do with your greed, isn't it? Correct or not? This is positive craving. Understand not? Positive craving. Then this one is your hatred. Understand not? This is your negative craving. whatever your dislike, unpleasant sense experience, understand not? That's why ill will. When you dislike what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactilely feel and think, you arise ill will, understand not? And it's a hindrance. And when you have this ill will mental state, it's a mental hindrance, then you cannot be peaceful, correct? When you are angry and unhappy with all the dislike and unpleasant feeling, you think you can be peaceful, no? Huh? You can still see things as they are. Because you are so emotional, understand not? Then when you have positive craving, when you like that sense experience, oh, you look forward for it to be repeated. You want it to last very long, understand not? Oh, this state, please don't go away. When you are with your girlfriend, how come so fast must go back? Father-in-law, mother-in-law, phone call. Understand not? Hey, midnight already. You promised to come back at 10 or 11. So to you, time like very fast. But when you are miserable, you cannot sleep. Time like very difficult to pass by. So it depends on what state you are. And that is all in the thought. Understand? So the five hindrances got a lot to do with your thought process. When you are lost in thought, when you see something that you like, where you have some pleasant experience, yeah, or very good experience, yeah, like when you see something very beautiful, very pleasant, very scenic, what happened? You had this craving for it, isn't it? You want it to be repeated, and you keep it in your memory. Then you compare. Next time you go somewhere, oh, I remember this place. Today not nice, lah. The cloud come, I cannot see. Ah, you wasted our trip. Who comment? All the thought comment. Because you measure, you compare through memory. There is beauty at that very moment. Understand? Even with the cloud, with the heavy rain, with everything not going right according to your view, that is still what nature is. Understand? To the enlightened one, is every moment, every instant is the beautiful. Understand? But because you are so conditioned, you must see like that only beautiful. Understand? You know, to the African, the orang, you know what is Miss Universe or not? Beauty. It must have that color one. Or then only beautiful. To you, Asian, you are not used to that. That you see a blonde one. Maybe now our civilization is more like... the world is like very small. We are exposed to a lot of these things. So now we can appreciate blonde. We can appreciate Asian. We can appreciate even black. That's why black got their own beauty. But beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. That's all. If you are so conditioned, how you look at beauty? If you don't believe me, you go and ask all those who are married very long. You ask them, your wife beautiful or not? In front of the wife, why most beautiful? And the wife not around, don't talk lah, we go somewhere else. Why? Because of the conditioning, you take for granted. But when you chase her that time, you forgot, no? Understand, no? Oh, that time you are my moon, you are my star, everything. 月亮代表我的心. You can sing a melody. But later on after marriage, you look at the form, you don't see the beauty in her, the sincerity, the sacrifice she has given you, the love she has given you. Of course, you don't tell me, brother, you're not all wife like that, no. Of course, they are not all wife like that. But there are moments where they're really sincere. They love you. They care for you. They sacrifice. But it's because you don't know how to create the environment. You don't know how to reciprocate. You don't know how to appreciate. And you don't know how to give that feeling and love. I tell you, if you treat her well, even the husband also say, they will respond and they will become very beautiful wife, inwardly, and even husband and spouse. So it depends on how you understand them, through your wisdom. That's why don't allow conditioning to make you like a monster, understand, or characterize you. Views and opinion is a convention of the world. With wisdom, you will understand. Different people have different views, different opinions. That's why they act differently. That's why I used to tell you what. Deluded people do deluded things. Understand? Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. They are just the way they are. Why can't you accept them and be at peace? then there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no dislike, no sensual desire, no evil. If throughout the day you arise this with every moment of sense experience, you know how miserable you will be. Means there is no peace in you, understand? You have this hindrance that continuously hinders you, understand? See also react, hear also react, think also react, at night cannot sleep. So what is happening? Then restlessness is the worst, understand? And you have fear, worry, anxiety, then you have problem, health problem, relationship problem, money problem, financial problem, relationship problem. Wow, cannot sleep, understand? Why? The mind, the thought, worry, think, understand? Until depressed, haunt you. Yeah. So restlessness is the worst because your mind is restless. Restless because it has a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of insecurity, a lot of stress, understand? The most powerful one nowadays is stress. And you know how the stress come about, huh? Yeah? Why are you so stressed out? And stress can make you very, very sick, understand? All of the cancer people, disease people, they start with stress, understand? Then their immune system go down. When you have stress, means you have fear, worry, anxiety. You have fear, worry, anxiety. Then followed by sorrow and lamentation. Lamentation and grief. When something go wrong in life, understand? Like separation from loved one. When you make a mistake, when somebody very dear to you, very close to you, something happened to them. Or when you met with certain very stressful type of situation in life, when you are under pressure to deliver, you cannot deliver. Yeah. Why do you want to stress yourself up that way? Love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you go and think until you become like that. Is that life? Is that the way you're supposed to live? You hold the key to your own life destiny, right? Each and every one of us has that. To be happy or to be unhappy and miserable, we have a choice there. Right? Then why can't you choose wisely, choose to be happy? Then why are you still in this state of stress, misery? Your mind is still so restless. Because you don't know the Dhamma, you don't know the spiritual faculty, you never develop this. When you develop this, all this is gone. Now I explain to you. What is doubt? Doubt means you don't understand the teaching, the nature's law that governs life and existence. Like the Buddha Dhamma, the law of karma, how your mind functions. Nature's truth, all you don't understand. Just like the scientists who don't understand scientific law can never be a scientist. So, when you have doubt, means you lack confidence, understand? That's why you are full of doubt. You don't have confidence in yourself, understand? So, spiritual sense, you don't have confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. That's why this doubt arises. You doubt yourself. Can I do it? This one, they say, not easy. You know, you think to be enlightened so easy. Not for me, lah. You close your door. There you go. And become heedless again. Understand? But if you got confidence, hey, this teaching is beautiful. I should give it a try. I got nothing to lose. Correct or not? Correct or not? If I make it, fatalo. Why you want to become so pessimistic and doubt yourself? And tell yourself, not for me lah. Cannot. Not everybody like Brother Teo lah. There you go lah. I can tell you, you never know your true potential. One moment you can be like that, the next moment you can be totally different. When this spiritual faculty come in, understand? It's possible. Then what happens is, the mind that is restless. When you have faith, what happened to you? You are very calm and very composed in it. When you have faith in the Buddha, you have full faith. You are very calm and very composed. That's why in front of the altar, your mind state is so calm, so composed, and so full of joy because you recall to mind the great loving kindness of Lord Buddha, the great compassion of Lord Buddha, the great wisdom of Lord Buddha, the great perfection of Lord Buddha, the great qualities of Lord Buddha. And because of that, you have a lot of joy. You have a lot of respect and gratitude towards him. Those mind states are all right thought, beautiful thought, understand? Instead of having this faith, confident and beautiful thought, you go and think and worry, understand? Worry until you become so miserable and so depressed until you cannot sleep, restless. Why? Why you choose to do things that way? Human being is so deluded. This is my problem, no? I must solve it, no? So how you solve it? You hold on so tightly and become so miserable. How to solve? It's like an analogy I used to give. This is a red hot, let's say, red hot iron ball. You hold, what happened? The Buddha say attachment means you hold, you cling. Attachment. You hold and you cling. What happened? It will burn you and you hold and never mind, you hold on to it. It will burn you and it will torment you, correct or not? Correct or not? Then what is the obvious thing to do? Put it down. Don't go and hold. But living with problem is, he said, no, this is my problem. My problem. So, I must hold on to it, think about it, and become continuously tormented by it. Because you are not seeking a solution. You are holding on to it, and in the process, you think that is your problem. You must think about it and worry about it and become miserable over it. That is your way of solving problem. This is delusion, stupidity. How can you solve this problem by holding on to it? Because thought-wise, emotion-wise, it doesn't burn you like this hot iron ball, understand? It slowly, slowly torment you and make you miserable, create fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and grief in you, but you cannot see. And this is worse than the red hot thing. The red hot thing, at least straight away you respond, you pull your hand away. It doesn't mean that this problem is not real. This problem is real. But why can't you just don't hold on to it? When you don't hold on to it, what happened to you? It doesn't burn you, it doesn't torment you. Correct or not? So there is no more fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and grief there. Then you have clarity of mind. Then what must you do? Take out a piece of paper, write it down. What is my problem? Outline them. Then how can I resolve it amicably? Understand? With clarity of mind, using the spiritual faculty, applying the Noble Eightfold Path of right thought leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood with the right view. Understand? And then you solve your problem. You solve problem by not attached or holding on to it. That's why the Buddha said, good food you can eat as long as you don't attach and hold. Understand? You can have good life, money, everything, as long as you know that you don't attach and cling and become a slave to it. Understand? Be a master. Use it for the good of the many. SJBA building fund. Donate. Then all your kind of fund, donate. We will help you to do more wholesomeness. Then whatever that wholesomeness or generosity that you can actually give back to society, do your part. It doesn't mean you give, no. Everything you give, law of karma say you receive, no? Because you reap what you sow. Understand, no? Whatever you give, come back to you through your merit, through your wealth, through your generosity. That's why do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of goodness, you reap the fruit of goodness. When you have generosity, wealth will come back to you. So when you understand this law, you think of right thought, wholesome condition will come back to you. You will meet people who are with the same frequency. And every time you help people recover, in future you don't worry. You will have a lot of this Dharma friend or they say Kuiran will come and help you. Well, you have this good karmic condition behind. So coming back to this five spiritual faculty, doubt and restlessness will be gone the moment you have faith, confident in yourself. Then when you have virya, spiritual zeal, tenacity to move, the passion, you will not be sleepy. This one, sloth and torpor, is sleepiness, lethargic mind, lazy mind. Thing that you don't like to do, you don't see value in them because you are so money-minded. That's all. Nothing to do with money, not important. So this spiritual faculty, nothing to do with money. But you don't know. If you understand, this is where all the money will come. When you have this, you will have a lot of generosity. That's all. You have a lot of love and compassion. And you will have the Dhamma, the right view. And you will know what to do to bring forth good condition in life. That's why all your wealth, everything come this way. Yeah. That's why this life, I'm not a financial guy. But I know how to make money. Much better than financial guy. Why? Because I have this. Understand? And I can develop a lot of understanding with the spiritual faculty. When you don't have this, you are already in heaven. Because this is hell. With the mental hindrance, you are heedless. You are like living in hell. Understand? You continuously arise all this. The evil roots are there. The hindrance of mind are there. All of your suffering, misery, delusion, they are all there. Otherwise, the hindrance will not arise. Otherwise, the evil root will not arise. Without evil root, you won't be restless. Without evil root, you won't have sensual desire and evil. And without evil root, you will not be in the state of sloth and torpor. So when you have sati, the third spiritual faculty, when you are aware without thought, there is no sensual desire and evil. Correct? It's the thought that conditions you to have craving. Correct? When you think of pleasant things, that craving arise, that thought develop the sensual desire. Then when you don't like something, the ill will, the dislike, like your envy and your jealousy, all this will come out, understand, through your emotion, through your reaction of mind. If you don't perceive and think, none of this will arise. If you just aware, without thought, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. Very peaceful. Space between thought, when there is no thought. What are you? Who are you? You are peaceful. Understand? Peace, silence, tranquility, and stillness. And that is most beautiful mental state. Understand? And there is so much joy inside there. It's just silence, stillness, tranquility. For people who have this type of problem, restlessness, one moment of peace, I tell you, even for 10 minutes, he's willing to pay you a lot of money to have that type of peace. Because it's so difficult for them. They are so miserable. You know what? It's insomnia, not cannot sleep. You ask those who have depression, they will tell you, crazy. The doctor give them the sleeping pill, tranquilizer. Initially very effective. After wake up, groggy. Then when they become dependent, it's like drug. Need more stronger dosage. Understand? Then after that, what happened? No more effect. I heard a lot of these people tell me. Even after taking the sleeping pill or tranquilizer, at the most half an hour or 1 hour of sleep, miserable, cannot sleep. Why? Because the body releases a type of hormone. Understand? And the doctor knows. That's why now, apart from sleeping pill and tranquilizer, the psychiatrist, they give you this type of, there's a type of drug that create balance of your hormone. As well. That subconscious release from your fear, worry, anxiety, and stress that cause that hormone to come out, they use the drug to counter that. Then you stabilize back. Understand? But if you depend on drug to stabilize, it's not only expensive, it's a temporary solution. But when you need it, please go and get it. Understand? But tell yourself you can become dependent, addicted. Understand? Then it will make you worse. But for the time being, they also seek solution for you. That's why they got counseling and all those things. But they use thought, understand? Very powerful motivation thought, try to bring you back. Yeah? But these are all temporary. You can only root it out with wisdom, with Dhamma. And with Dhamma, no need money. No need money. Free. Then you say, where got such thing as a free lunch? Buddha Dhamma is free. That's why all the Dhamma book, all the notes we print, the transcript, we never charge. Kadamita fun today. That's not. This is the only place you find some free lunch. That's not. So, spiritual faculty will counter all this. So now you understand the importance of spiritual faculty. I ask you one question. Are you serious about life? Serious? Then, are you cultivating this or throughout the day still creating this? The hindrance. You go and answer yourself. To us, it's very clear. No? If you want to continue to be heedless, like the Buddha said, don't do anything. Continue with what you are doing with your life. Continue to be heedless. A heedless person is not serious about life, not careful with life. If you are dead serious, you know you have this. The Buddha said, don't fight, don't suppress, don't control. Let it arise. You will develop just the five spiritual faculty, evil, overcome them by itself. That's why the Buddha's teaching is not to confront, not to suppress, not to control, not to fight. It's like Tai Chi Qian, understand? Flow and accord, understand? Then everything will be peaceful. Because you don't react, you don't get hurt, you don't hurt people, understand? And you're always at peace, no matter what the world is, what people is. You accept them for what they are. That's why you don't hold, you don't complain, you don't react, you don't blame. You're always at peace. You accept them for what they are. You accept all things as natural. See things as they are. These are all the teaching. So when you have the ability through wisdom, you will become very wise and very beautiful. So this is a summary of the two essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. And if you want to learn how to meditate, you don't need anything. Cultivate these five. The moment you sit, you will enter sati. Because when you have faith, sadha, virya, your sati is already there. Then you become very quiet, very peaceful, very still. No need to do mind sweeping method, no need anapanasati, nothing. You just silent. Go in. You don't believe, you go and try. And the best way to do sati is pay respect to the Buddha or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, somebody you have faith. Together with the faith, sadha, virya, sati, you just bow. One day, three times. Each time minimum 300 bow. You do it for 2 months or 3 months. Your sati should come on after you. But if you are having leg problem, please, don't do it. Blame Brother Teo. But you told me to do, you look at my leg now. Then you go and see the doctor. Doctor say, you overdone. Then you say, Brother Teo's advice lah. Then I also very difficult to explain to you. You do with your own understanding, with your own limit. But when you bow mindfully with the faith, you don't think. When you don't think, what happened to you? You are very peaceful. You got no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. But doesn't mean you don't attend the worldly thing. You still got your career, you still got your duty as father, mother, parent, understand? Or children. You don't neglect your duty, understand? That's why the Dhamma is for you to develop wisdom so that you can confront life. So that I teach you, don't hold on to the red hot iron ball, understand? Whatever problem, whether life threatening or whatever, maintain calm and peace. Understand? Means what? No matter what happened, don't react, don't blame, don't get angry, don't get restless or agitated. Cannot. Don't get angry, you know. Cannot. A lot of people say, how can, man? If I don't scold my staff and my subordinate, they will climb over my head. Cannot. And Cantonese people say, so how you deal with that situation? It doesn't mean that you cannot raise your voice. You can raise your voice, but without anger, you raise your voice to express something. You want them, please. It's just like I make it serious for you. Please, your own life. You better decide how you want to live. Nothing to do with me. after I share, that is my duty. So you agree or don't agree, not important. So no. Your life, nothing to do with me. So no. If you doesn't how to know how to choose, then you cannot blame anybody but yourself. That's why the Buddha said, all living beings, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. And this one, every day you must reflect and contemplate. Oh. How many people do that? Oh, very good. At the back got one. Sadhu, huh? You must do. Then you must reflect and contemplate on the other four that the Buddha teach. Huh? Remember or not? Five daily contemplation. What are the first three about this body? Very good. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. Then this body of ours is of the nature to be sick or disease when the condition is not right, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. So these are the reality of the form. Where the form is made of element, it goes the way of nature, it will grow old, it decay, and it will fall sick when condition is not right. Then this form of ours is of the nature to one day die. Well, nothing is certain except death. Death is a certainty. So it has not gone beyond death because they are conditioned arising. When condition cease to be, when consciousness separate from the form, living being say, you die. How they certify death? No more heartbeat. Krena. No more heartbeat means what? Consciousness went out already. That's why it cannot pump. The life force didn't come. And this consciousness cannot stay because this life force is not there. There is no more life force energy. That's why it cannot pump the heart. It cannot sustain the other organ. The blood cannot flow. You will die. Then this consciousness will have to leave. There is no more a support. So then the form and mind cannot be a human being or a living being to support you like before. That's why they say, you die. You die means what? Your entity erased. After that, nothing belongs to you. True, right? But when you're alive, so deluded. Oh, my house, oh, my property, my wealth, my wife, my children, everything is mine. Next moment, breath, no more. Your identity also gone. Then, who is there to own anything? But when you're alive, you're so worried. You know, I die, how? Who is going to inherit this? My children still so small. My wife after he remarry, how? Not a reality, but a thought project and project. So this bring about what? Worry, anxiety, suffering. And then you become vicious. Just in case, play safe again. My wife still so young, cannot. Must plan something, put in the will. Very strict ones, you cannot touch money. You can think of all sorts of funny things. But you never trust your karma, you never trust your nature. If you don't do all this, where got why do this to you? Understand? If you are the wife that do your husband in your previous life, and then you got that karma, and then this life, you plan until your will, how tight also that wife will do the same thing to you. Understand? Because karma is you reap what you sow. You cannot run. Understand? When condition is there, it will manifest. It's so powerful. To the enlightened one, they will never violate the precept and they will take care of karma. It's never worthwhile, you know. Okay, we got how many minutes? 15 minutes. Anybody want to report meditation? Or ask any Dhamma question? We still got 15 minutes. Yes, use the mic. Today sharing, you know why I have to speak this, because it's meant for some people. And this is very useful for those who are here also. You listen to it one more time, it's different again, the approach. Although it's the same two essential Dhamma, but it can be explained in so many versions and anger. Okay, Eric, yeah. Yes.
Relative, this is not reporting of my
Never meditation. Mind. Yeah, you can share your experience. Very good. Yeah, he called me that day. He was so grateful. You better tell them from your own mouth better.
before I came to this class, almost coming 1 year, for what Brother Teo today has shared, I was in the 5 mental hindrances for almost 2 years plus. Whatever I do, whatever I say, or even when I walk, I was very doubtful about myself, and I do not have confidence in the sense that what people will say, or if I do this, if I do that, what will happen? What is the end result? So this is all because of after I've been through so much of like what Brother Teo just now was saying, that I went through so many hard time in my life, whereby firstly I got cancer in my bladder, and then after that, when I was coping on it, my daughter got leukemia. And I got a hard time with my work. My boss is every day pressing on me, and the stress is really tremendously.
Yeah, this one is very true. And he told me all this thing.
And I was lost. Whenever I reached home, I would hide myself in my room.
Mm.
When my children speak, kids, when they talk loud, they're happy. I tend to be like, it's very irritating to me, and I even shout back at them.
You will. Yeah, unhappy, and, sadness.
And sometimes I even feel like I'm in a dark room, like no to go in, but I just can't find the door out. And all the time that I want to do is to hide myself, to stay far away from other people, even though my brother or sisters, they WhatsApp me or they send SMSs or what, I just ignoring, not replying. So these 5 hindrances is really, it's true, like, I've went through it. So I do 101% agree with what Brother Teo has mentioned. And life is very, very, I don't feel, whatever I do, I don't think, I don't see any meaning behind it. So until,
at that time,
that time, and I was totally lost. Sometimes when I...
He was miserable.
When I was
all those signs were depression, actually. So want to isolate yourself, depression.
And then the doctor also was saying that I'm in the stage of mild... mild anxiety depression. It was really very hard lah.
That time was very very hard. It affected him completely.
Yes.
Family, daughter, himself, career. So much fear. The restless mind, fear, worry, anxiety.
And then until last year when my late father-in-law has passed away. I just in my heart I want to say I want to bring my mother-in-law down to me to stay with me. But the thoughts are controlling me lah. The thoughts are telling me, can I cope or not? Can I give happiness? Or you know, it's like, it's very difficult to explain, but
one day he will be able to. But he has recovered, for your information, beautifully.
And I was very
sad. And he was full of joy for the last few months. You can see him sitting in front, keep on noting what I say, because he understand, because he went through suffering, and he recovered beautifully. And he used to call me. Then when I explain, it becomes so simple and so clear. And the last one, you want to tell them about the scam. She almost kena the scam. At the moment of almost executing it, he kena. He kena before, and yet second time still like that. But luckily, he paused and meditate. Then when he meditated, when the spiritual faculty came out, the understanding just there. It is a scam. Immediately he's on the computer and stopped everything and went to the bank and reversed everything.
And it's true enough, the syndicate has been, they already waiting for my tag number
everything.
And swap everything. So, but meditation really helps me.
Because when the spiritual faculty came back, because last few months he was very diligent. Actually, I think if I'm not wrong, the main driving force was when he saw his daughter turn around, recovered fully. Then he saw the joy. Then he saw the hope. Then he starts to have faith. Attentively listen for the last few months. That's how he turned around. And his good karma too.
And,
without that good karma, he cannot be here. He cannot be talking to us and meeting us and learning all these things. See, from such a real negative perspective of a real normal human being, he is very intelligent, no, I tell you. But he got a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. Yeah, he lacks self-confidence. He lacks faith. That's why when faith go in, when there is understanding and clarity, that faith is strengthened. The spiritual faculty is strengthened, and it reverses all the hindrance. And the karma turn around. Things starts to become better, and you can see the joy in him, the faith. Last time very dark, full of fear. You can see one. The first time I saw him, so negative. I remember they used to tell me he go to Subang Jaya there, they teach you how to release bird. Then I told Suyan, please, all this is not going to help. He got to do three things to recover. I remember I told Suyan, my phone there. Then later he came. He came to the class. At first he asked a lot of questions. He cannot understand.
About karma.
About karma, yep. Yes. He asked a lot. Then I explained. Then I say, releasing bird, you think it's compassion, according to you, your thought tell you. If you want to do good, it must be a natural good. When there is condition to do, only you do. You purposely go and buy and release like that, you think good. You encourage people to go and cash and try that. You go and pay money to release. What is the difference between bribing a government servant to release you? Understand? Although there is some form of symbol of generosity, like you want to, on behalf of the bird, you want to give them freedom. But do you think the bird has more freedom if you release them into the city? They cannot survive. Their habitat is different. And sometimes if they are in the captivity, they actually have food every day. They can sing and they can jump. And they are very happy down there. You suddenly release them, then they become so, like, cannot survive. They got no surviving instinct because it's in the city. Traffic everywhere. Noise pollution so terrible. All the chipping of the bird and nature's vibration no more. Instead, horn here, horn there, traffic. The bird also cuckoo. At least in the house, got quiet moment, radio, got music. Of course, at times you quarrel, they take the quarrel as music also. Then it's not so bad. But it depends. If you have kindness, goodness, it will manifest from your heart. It's not through the thought, I want to do good. Good according to who? Good according to your conditioning, your views and opinion. The whole world is full of suffering being. How many can you have? Cannot. If there is condition to have, meant to be, then you will have. That is the true Dhamma, understand not? Okay? Yeah. You got anything to add?
Yeah. I just want to say thank you to Brother Suan. He's the first person who met
really,
me without condition.
Yeah.
And he invited me to come to this class.
Sadhu.
I have hesitation to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Giving a lot of excuses.
Yeah.
And that was the starting point for me when I came here and I saw Brother Teo and you guys. I was like, gosh, I'm in front of all those guys here. I'm so afraid that I do mistakes or wrong here, but so I just keep quiet and just listen and just follow through. But I just don't understand at
the
beginning.
Initially very difficult. You can ask him.
I just don't understand. Yes. And until
because it's so different, the conditioning, the culture, the belief system is so different. Because these are the Dhamma he never heard before.
It's like a different world. To
different world, completely
because
different.
For 2 years, I've been staying in that.
Yeah, world. That state.
When Brother Teo explained about the 5 spiritual
faculties.
So I make my own goal that I want to achieve Sangha first.
Yeah, Sangha, very important.
I do not have faith in what I do. I don't have the confidence. So at least now the faith is there and I am still building up my confidence. And I'm proud to share that now my mother-in-law is with me, staying with me. Thank you. Before I brought my mom down, my mother-in-law down, I was thinking how I want to support this family because there's another additional person around. So I did meditation again. Thank you to Brother Teo. And what struck me was bring her down and the rest.
Yeah, everything will follow.
Belakang cerita. So, but
you see, nature is very beautiful, to add to what he said. When you are sincere and you have goodness, wholesomeness, don't worry. Things will just unfold because that wholesomeness will pave the way. But when you have a lot of cunningness, my mother-in-law, ayo, calm down, a lot of problem, another one to feed, he just more chat, like ayo, how actually, haven't come down yet, is there? No reality, but the thought we project, and that fear. This is what we mean by hindrance of mind, understand? That fear, the worry, the anxiety, the mind so restless. Even she come down also, your mind stay away like that, and she can sense it, understand? That you are not happy with her. You ask all the mother-in-law, Li Kun's mother. They can sense it, why their children don't like them, understand? But if you're really sincere, they can say they have a lot of joy. And the best way to repay your parents is to be sincerely having the affection to thank them for the sacrifice and the gratitude towards what they have done for you. And that is all wholesome thought. Just be sincere and thank them. Have gratitude. Say, you gave me life. You supported me. You care for me. You sacrificed so much for me when I was young. When I was sick, these are the things you do for me. And I tell you, this word will make them so happy. Money cannot buy, understand? Strike lottery also not so happy. This one, my own children tell me all this. Understand? That's why that joy is what right thought is all about. Don't go and always think negative thought and worry about it, worry about that and become so selfish. Why selfish? Yeah, everything is about you, nothing to do with the in-law, the mother-in-law. And when you continue to have selfishness like that, this is evil root. Root of all evil, it makes you into an evil person. But when you can have this selfless thought, means without selfishness, you just want to help your mother-in-law, just want to bring her down so that she can have a better life, so that you can actually repay whatever gratitude that your daughter had towards her daughter, which is your wife. So you thank her for training and bringing up such a beautiful wife that can be of so much help to you and supported you in so many ways. So when you have this gratitude, contentment, sincerity, love, your mind states are different. Without evil root, it's very beautiful. That's why be sincere, have confidence, work towards it. Everything will go your way. Goodness will pave the way for goodness to arise. No negativity. Okay? Yeah. Wow, 10:30. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We say sadhu, we rejoice.
Just one more. At this moment now, I feel I'm the richest person
yeah.
happiness
yeah.
because
in the world.
My house is very peaceful with yes. my mother-in-law around. And every morning she'll wake up early in the morning and she'll do chanting in front of the shrine room.
Yes.
And whenever I come back from home, from office, when I step into my house, the feeling of
peace,
back to the
peace.
Home.
You like to come back. Last time I want to lock himself, go outside and talk to friends. You know, drink, drown your sorrow. 苦酒, man.
But last but not least, please practice the five spiritual faculties.
Yeah.
It's very, very
sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
It helps me a lot.
And this is a real life testimony. You somehow don't understand too bad. Your life, understand? He is actually with gratitude try to help. Understand? Well, he experienced it and he realized the spiritual faculty are so powerful, so important, so valuable, so beautiful. That's why just I ask you to ask yourself sincerely whether you are every day doing this, means creating five hindrances. Every moment, every instant, or you are really serious about life, you are cultivating your spiritual faculty. And this is very easy, spiritual faculty. Do your puja, have a religious routine 3 times a day, before you sleep, when you wake up, in between. Then every day when you at home, want to leave the house, pay respect to your altar. Come back, pay respect. Then maintain mindfulness throughout the day. In the office, free time, lunch break, after you finish your meal. Last time I used to have a quick meal, then I come back, I sit, I meditate, I read it, I chant. So these are the things that can allow you to build out spiritual faculty. You don't have to be like rigidly think that you must become monk, you must full-time like that. No such thing. I did it. As a lay person with a family, with children, 2 kids and a wife, and a lot of brothers, sisters, friends, everything, I work in a very high stress environment, I tell you. But I was okay because I have the Dhamma, understand? And it can be done. And I have seen many, many things. That's why I told you I reached the pinnacle of my life, pinnacle of my career. To be a human being, you cannot live like that. Why you come? You come here to suffer and become miserable. Is it worth it? If you have a choice, you'll never do that. But because you don't know the Dhamma, you suffer without knowing why you suffer. That's why ignorance of the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, is really, really miserable. The heedless are miserable. The heedless are as if dead. As if dead means spiritually dead. But that form and mind, miserable, I tell you. No spiritual life, some more full of suffering, and you are always heedless. That's why that is what the Dhamma is all about. Either you are heedful or you are heedless. If you don't know how to choose to be heedful, you will be heedless. And the heedless are as if they are miserable. So how to be heedful? Train your mind to have spiritual faculty, then sati will make you heedful. And it's so simple. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Okay? Clear now this time. Don't say brother to force you. Your life, you don't know how to choose, and later on you get into trouble and say, your brother to never explain. Like you had told me like that, I long ago would have become heedful. Not too late. The Buddha says 7 days fastest. Yeah? You go and train hard. Maximum 7 years. Most of you are still young. So not difficult. And most of you are average. I think 3 years will do. Some fast one. 1 year or a few months. Hey, really, you're serious. Maybe before the end of the year. Can! I'm not joking. Serious. If you understand, you talk to me, next moment you're already different. If you are serious, if you are ready with the spiritual faculty, spend time, take me breakfast and lunch. You sure awaken one, I tell you. not to say I want breakfast. Those who treat me, fatal, I tell you. You not only receive Dhamma, no, your merits, I tell you, you cannot imagine. Okay, we end. So don't go and talk and simply say to people, we have our own sharing because there is condition. So if they listen it through the talk, never mind. Don't worry. Let things be. Okay? So now we will do our closing puja. We will do our sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we invoke the blessing for the nation. Then make your aspiration. For those who are new, who cannot understand, you just silent your mind and rejoice. You say, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Excuse me. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatakalena sasa sampatihito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.
Yeah, I'm going to go.